Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Let's get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Here we go. It's me, it's Mr. FSP. Don't let it do the duping you all day, every day. What else do I have to say other than happy Valentine's Day? Listen up, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot, I mean a lot, going on in the world of sports. Politically, socially, and of course, athletically, we've got a whole bunch of information that's going down. I don't know if you're familiar with the song, Yeah, It's Going Down. That's all I know of it, really. I don't know too much of it. But myself and my co-host, JTATM Money, we'll be talking to you, our listeners, our faithful listeners, about what's going on in the NBA. You know, we got the dunk contest, we got the All-Star game, and all that other stuff going on, you know, and what can they do to save that? Has the NBA been changed for the better, or is it gotten worse? Talk about that. Also, moves that are going on in the NFL. Or possible moves. Can the Dallas Cowboys afford to pay all that money to the offensive line, Tony Romo, and all those other players, and still pay Dez Bryant and DeMarco Murray? Or will one or both of them be on the move? I'm hearing maybe one. Maybe one. We'll see. We'll also discuss the NFL prospects. They're going to go to the combine at the end of this upcoming week. I know Jerry's thing is running backs, so I hope he's ready to talk about some of these running backs that are going to be participating. Most notably, one running back that won't be participating, but we'll talk about it once we get there. Also, there's a little something going on or about to go on that requires my attention, hopefully Jerry's attention, and everybody else's attention. That's fantasy baseball. I'm ready to break down the top 300 players by position, who I feel will be number one in their position. And, you know, I might not be winning a lot of baseball leagues, but my players seem to turn it on at the end. I don't know why they don't help me out during the beginning of the season, but this year, end up in the money. And we're going to talk about that too, and a whole bunch of stuff that goes on here, Fantasy Sports Politics. With that being said, let me bring in my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only, JT, Jerry Taylor. What's going on, G?
How you doing, my man? How you been?
I've been good. Happy Valentine's Day to you and your wife and all that.
Same to you.
Thank you. Why do you sound so solemn and not
You know, Victor, I've interrupted you several times over the past months or years or whatever when you have your opening monologue. I'm trying to be a little bit more professional, and as you can see, some of the things I've been texting back and forth with you, so I'm trying to just go and do what a normal co-host would do with a host.
So I'm not trying to interrupt you or dog you out. It's your show. I'm here for the ride to help and support you.
Oh, my God. Quit all that. Be yourself before I get upset.
I am. I'm trying to be myself. This is trying to be the new me, man. So I'm just doing it.
Okay, so the new Jerry is very calm and relaxed. Aren't you a little too old to be changing at your advanced age?
You're never too old. You're never, remember that. When you get my age, remember, if you need to make a change, you're never too old for that.
You are my man, 50 grand, JT. I'm always going to take your haggling because at least you let me haggle you back without getting upset too much. But,
I can't. I got to be able to take it if I give it. So that's only right, you know. So it is what it is.
Yes. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, be on the lookout for JT's new logo. Hey, I wasn't too happy with the first product, but I think what's coming down the pipe, JT is going to be happy with, and you'll be happy with. As the master plan tries to take over the world, he's like Ren and Stimpy, you know, Pinky and the Brain. I guess Jerry's the brain and Lance is Pinky. I don't know. We'll see. But JT, ATM, since you're trying to always take money, let's get to it. Let's talk about this NBA, and because honestly I think it's the least noteworthy topic to discuss today, because I'm not a big NBA fan. I like basketball, but I'm not a fanatic. So talk to me. What do you think about Mr. Sterling's, or is it Adam Silver? I can't remember.
Adam Silver.
Adam Silver, yes. I'm thinking Sterling Silver for some reason. Mr. Silver's first half of his tenure as NBA commissioner.
Well, it's been relatively quiet. I don't think there's been a lot going on, as in anything disruptive, highly disruptive. I know he came out and said that something about, and I don't exactly know, so I'm trying to lean on you to find out this information about betting on NBA games, players betting on NBA games or something like that. I could be misconstruing that, but I know it was something about betting on games. Maybe you can enlighten me. That surprised me. I think that came out about a month ago, if I'm not mistaken. But he has been relatively quiet. I mean, he had the Donald Sterling thing that he went through, and then he had a new owner for that. And then another owner made some controversial remarks. And the Atlanta Hawks are on the offer sale. So, but otherwise than that, I think it's been relatively quiet. If I'm missing something, I know you're enlightening me. But his reign, so to speak, has been relatively quiet with a few bumps in the road. Hello.
My bad. I'll enlighten you on the basketball betting situation. He's done an exploratory investigation into possibly allowing owners and players, anybody affiliated with the NBA, to bet on NBA games. He's concocted a group of individuals, owners, and other personnel to decide if it is I'm not going to say a worthy an okayed action to take. Now, what leads me to this is, or to my conclusion, is that Mr. Silver, obviously, this is just me being Mr., you know, piecing one and one to make two, has some players, former and probably current, and probably some owners that bet on other sports.
and have possibly bet on basketball games. Now, I know people are going to probably think like Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle, and stuff like that, and that possibly is the case, except it's not getting exposed as bad as Pete Rose. But only way I can see this happening, twofold, two ways. One, Sterling has some major ties, or the NBA has major ties to casinos and gambling, or there's a problem, so to speak, in the NBA with players gambling. We can look at Charles Barkley, Michael Jordan, all these other cats going to casinos, blowing tons of money, getting in debt to some of these casinos, you know, back in their day. I'm not saying that's happening currently in the NBA, but I can see that as being a reason for him putting together this investigation, this exploratory group of people to investigate the possibility of allowing players and betting to go on for NBA games. Now, would that also preclude or include gambling at the stadiums? For instance, D.C. has allowed casinos and gambling that happened, just like Maryland has. You know, you can go to any casino that I think they have like three or four now in that area, and one that's going to be on the downtown mall in D.C., where you can go in and place a bet. Not in a lot of big sports books, but they, you know, but there are areas where you place a bet. And the Wizards are there. You know, the Wizards have access to Maryland Live, which is a casino in Maryland. You know, the one in D.C., and I think Virginia's exploring it. There are several out here in Sacramento, as a matter of fact. That's a pretty big one. So there's a lot going on. And I think Adam Silver is trying to say, okay, you know what? Let me stem the tide before a big typhoon comes my way and I'm going to have to deal with it. So I think that's part of the reasoning. I mean, I don't know. It's speculatory on my part, but your thoughts, JT.
On what were your thoughts on?
On this, on a possible reasoning for, you know, Silver to begin an investigation or begin an exploratory group into why he would allow players to gamble and owners and anybody familiar with NBA to gamble on NBA games, knowing that some
The only other reason I would say that, now, I don't know how this would work if for some reason that the NBA was getting a cut from the gambling, but I can't see how that would be feasible. I mean, to allow that between the owners or whoever, people involved with the NBA, I mean, you're opening yourself up to all kinds of scrutiny and conspiracy theorists on every game that's being played, including the games that are in the playoffs, and eventually the eventual champion. Because the fact is, if you're allowing players and owners or to bet on games, it raised my eyebrow when I heard it, and I didn't hear the whole thing. And I tell you the truth, I didn't investigate it. That's why I was leaning on you about it, because the fact is, it's not something that you would think the head of a association, professional association, would entertain. And I'm surprised he even brought it up and even decided to, I guess, bring it to a committee to see if it's feasible or not, or it makes any sense. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, that's a real surprise to me. I would, if I was ahead of something like that, I would never bring something like that up, because you're opening yourself up to so much scrutiny. It's not, in my opinion, I know it's probably able to get millions out of it, but is that really worth to possibly bring your game down to a different level versus raising it?
I can't see it. To me, it may be something that those who are interested in doing that, I mean, wagering on games, other than the people that are doing it right now, or able to do it right now, would like, but is it really worth it? That's the bottom line, and I think that's what he's probably going to investigate. Is it really worth it?
Well, you know, I think the reason why he brought it out is so that whatever is behind closed doors or happening right now, they're warned, so to speak. I mean, if we think that, you know, Pete Rose is the only player in sports history to bet on his own team as a manager. I don't think he did it as a player, but we know the Black Sox back in the day threw the World Series for whatever reasons they had. But Pete Rose isn't the only person to do this. And I think, again, this is all me being speculating. It's because he knows that something is already going on, and he wants to stop it or make it legal before it comes out into the light. I mean, I can be a pessimistic person in saying that, but the investigative side of me says that's what it is. You know, I really don't know if it's more than that. Or is it just, you know, a way for, as you said, Jerry, the NBA to get a cut of it?
Mm-hmm.
Here's my question, and this is going to lead to another subject. But let's look at Dwight Howard. Okay? Dwight Howard has an injury that he says will keep him out from 6 to 8 weeks. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say Dwight Howard's betting on the games. He's not playing, but he's betting on the games, and he's sitting on the bench. So he's privy to insider information about the Houston Rockets. You know, he knows that they're going to trade for Dragic from Phoenix, and they're sending, I guess, Josh Smith, or they're sending the point guard, I can't remember, Patrick Beverly, to Phoenix. So he knows in the next couple games things are going to be upside down. What's preventing him from placing a large wager against his team? And I got something else I want to talk about Mr. Howard once we're done with this conversation. But go ahead. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know, man. I mean, I really, you know, It's tough because I don't understand why he would even, I mean, unless he, like you said, unless he knows something and he'd rather make it legal in order for him not to be able to come down on a group of persons or a person or whatever. He'd rather try to get it legal as quickly as possible. And and then avoid the ramifications. I really can't understand why, like I say, a professional association would entertain this unless there's some way that he could effectively not think that it's a conspiracy type of thing and that the NBA would get a cut of it. And it's just another way of making money. These owners, these commissioners, like in the NFL, like in the NBA, like in the hockey and in baseball, you notice that there's a new one in baseball. There's a new one in basketball. Soon, not that far, Roger Goodell's been in there. So these guys are turning over guys and getting guys They had commissioners before that brought them up to a certain level. Now that they're bringing in other commissioners, just like the three I named, trying to get into the next level, trying to more guys that are money generators, like quite naturally Roger Goodell for one, Adam Silver, and the guy in and I forget his name, that's in baseball now that took over for Bud Selig. These guys are in there now. Besides running the league, they're there quite naturally to generate more money in any way they can see possible. So maybe he's got a way to generate millions or maybe billions or more dollars quite naturally out of the gambling game. And you know, because the fact is, there's a lot of money to be made from people who gamble on whatever sport, and especially basketball.
Okay. Well, I think we've exhausted that portion. But now I want to bring up another portion of basketball.
Uh-oh.
NBA action. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Concerning Dwight Howard?
No.
It's a video that went viral. It was actually a live shot during a Rockets game. Well, and it's not apparently, but it was visually apparent. Dwight Howard comes out to sit on the bench with his teammates. And in the process of him sitting down in between his teammates, his hand, right hand, goes toward and seemingly grabs his teammate's junk on national TV. And immediately...
What?
Yes. And immediately, the scene gets cut to something else. Directly after his hand, because, you know, you think he's going to, like, use his leg to sit down or whatever. Dwight's looking at dude, and his right hand goes toward his man area, and he clenches as he sits down. And the player, like, kicks his arm, his hand off or whatever, and keeps talking. Now, I don't know what that was about, but Dwight Howard, is that what Kobe meant by your song? I don't know. So, I'm just interested, you know, what happened there with Dwight Howard and his teammate.
Oh.
I don't know. I think
okay.
It was Isaiah Cain that he was sitting by when this took place. But interesting. Interesting.
Very.
So.
That's very interesting.
Yes. I mean, I've never heard any, you know, rumors about him. But, bro, several things you don't do. If you're a male and a male, and you're not homosexual, one of which is reach for and squeeze another man's area. If that's the way they do good games, I don't want to go hang out with the Houston Rockets. Because I can imagine if Dwight Howard thought that this was okay to do, probably didn't know the camera was on him at the time, probably didn't. But if you know it's okay to do that, what goes on in the locker room? Is he dressing up like Shakira or whatever she did for Halloween? You know, I don't know. I just don't know. I'm just putting it out there. Just putting it out there. All right. Last talk about the NBA, since I know you don't have anything to say about that, or do you? Do you have anything to say about? Do you have anything you want to say about Dwight Howard and that possible?
No, man, I didn't see it, and I'm not touching that. I'm not touching.
Oh, like she was.
I am not touching that. Didn't know about it, and I can't really comment it because I didn't see it. So.
Okay. I'll let you off the hook, but let's talk about the NBA. All-Star game and the dunk contest and all that. We got a few minutes before we have to go to break. Are you even going to watch it? Does it even bother you? I mean, it's on Valentine's Day weekend. Do you even care? Has it lost its luster?
I'm not – like I've said this over the years, and I'll keep saying it. I'm not a big NBA watcher. My wife watches the NBA on occasion, but I'm not a big NBA watcher, and the dunk contest is definitely not something I watch. Any NBA game, excuse me, NBA All-Star game is definitely not something that's on my TV list and a must watch when it tomorrow. It just
so
doesn't.
So why has the NBA lost its luster with the NBA All-Star Weekend? It used to be one of the highlight points of an NBA season. Now it's just, okay, one theory is because the All-Stars that are, you know, playing aren't participating in, like, the dunk contest or the three-point contest. You know, this year, the three-point contest has a couple of good shooters, but, like, the skills challenge, you know, what is it that has taken people away from it?
Well, just, you know, I just thought about this. The three-point contest, three-point shooting contest, should be pretty interesting to watch. For the simple reason of three guys that are going to be in there, off the top of my head, I can think of they're going to be there. The Splash Brothers, meaning Stephon Curry and Klay Thompson, I think they're going up against each other in a three-point contest. Excuse me. And I think Kyle Culver from Atlanta is also going in. So those three guys may be very interesting and very enjoyable to watch. And along with whoever is included in the three-point contest, because these guys, especially Thompson and Stephon Curry, are prolific three-point shooters. Kyle Culver, for some reason, is super hot this year, and it goes along with the success of Atlanta. So those three guys in itself, you know, I would pay to watch. To 3 points because I'm definitely a fan of the two Splash Brothers out in Golden State, and see what happens with Korver who can light it up also.
Well, you know, I think because Klay Thomas is, I'm not sure if Steph is in it, but I believe Klay is in it, and Korver is in it, and a few other 3-point threats are supposed to be in it. That'll be the highlight of the evening because there are a bunch of relative no-names in the dunk contest. Mm-hmm. And that has always been a highlight, except for the past, I'd say, 5 to 7 years. It's not interesting. Not
right.
at all. You know, Vince Carter was like the last good dunker, if I can recall, because they went against each other, and it's no longer East versus West. It's individualized or whatever. But I think the weekend is just another inflated way of generating money for the NBA because it's lost interest with a lot of fans, a lot, me included. And I don't watch basketball that often, but when I did watch a lot, it was because of the NBA All-Star Weekend. So much fun was going on. Now that I'm out here, I've gone to a lot of Warriors games. My wife has become a Golden State Warriors fan, along with my boys. They like Steph Curry and stuff like that. I will venture to say they're my second best team now that I've, you know, because I'm always going to be a Wizard fan. But, excuse me, there's a lot of different avenues in the NBA that have not been crossed that kind of make me think, why do I care about the NBA? It's sad for me to say that, but it's also truthful because so many people are turned off. But I will say this. The product has been getting better. I think Damian Lillard, is a very good player. And I think because Portland, Atlanta, and some of these other franchises outside of the norm are taking off, basketball games are not just, you know, let me get through these 62 games and then we get to playoffs and then it's fun to watch again. Some of these younger teams have decided they're not going to be taken like me anymore, and they're stepping up. I mean, as I said, Toronto, Atlanta, the Wizards, Portland, and well, we've seen this for a while, but Golden State and the Clippers have come from being the worst teams in the NBA to some of the best teams in the NBA. So I think that's changed my perception about the NBA, but not the All-Star game. All right. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, unless you have something you want to say, JT18 Money, we're going to step out to a break. And when we come back, we're going to discuss some NFL action as far as free agency. I want to get Jerry's top five or top 10 free agents, and we're going to discuss Dez Bryant and DeMarco Murray. Which one stays? Which one goes? Or do they both stay? Or do they both go? Also going to talk about what the GM or one of the partners in the Minnesota Vikings said about Adrian Peterson. Was it truthful or not? I don't know. I'm going to leave that up to JT to decide. That's my sounding board. That's my guy. And that's who we're going to kick it with in a few minutes. Stick and stay with me. It's your boy FSB along with JT18MA right here on Fantasy Sports and Politics Valentine's Day edition. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as the Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on the Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's the Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, the Master Plan. Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP Crew Show as they break down the weekend sports and prepare you for Thursday night football. 8 p.m. Eastern, just before the game starts, Jerry the Master Taylor hosts the show with Jeff the Joker Goldberg and Mike the Bookie Monster Wright. The three gentlemen debate and discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything on the FSP Crew Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Hi, I'm Russell Gilchrist. When I need fantasy sports advice, I listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We're back. It's me. It's Mr. FSP along with JT18 Money. Doing what we do, because we do it for you all day, every day. Yay! JT, my brother.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's break it down, man. What do you see, or what is on the horizon for these free agents in the NFL? Do you have your top 10 free agents and where they may or may not go?
Oh, where they may go? I can name the top 10 free agents. Where I think they may go is,
Well, let's go through the top 10. Let's start with your bottom half. Let's go 10 through 1, and let's discuss who they are, how important they are to their current team, and then we can decide where they may or may not go.
All right, number 10. This may be a surprise to you, but number 10 that I have is DeMarco Murray. Dallas
what?
Cowboys runs. Number 10.
That's your number 10?
My number 10 I have. And reason being, they have, three or four first-round picks on that offensive line. That offensive line is pretty awesome. DeMarco Murray has only had, two seasons? Or maybe not. This is the first season he's been healthy. I think he played in 14 games last year. He's got a history of injury. He's touched the ball over almost 500 times this year, whether catching the ball or running the ball. History has told us, I know he's only in his mid-20s, but history has told us that a running back that many touches is extremely prone to injury. Look what happened to Jamal Charles. He was a little injury prone this year. I had premised that earlier in the season that I had a funny feeling that he wouldn't have the same type of season he had last year. He touched the ball over 350 times last year, and he had issues of staying healthy and staying in games. DeMarco Murray fell between 480, if I'm not mistaken, it's between 480 and 500, somewhere in there of touching the ball, like I said, whether it was catching or running the ball. And I think they can get somebody that's able to run the ball a la maybe Adrian Peterson or Joseph Randall if he gets out of this trouble that he put himself into. Joseph Randall is about the same size, maybe 8 pounds, maybe close to 10 pounds, give or take, lighter than DeMarco Murray. And it did pretty well when he was in there replacing him at times when he needed a breather. That's why I'm saying DeMarco Murray is my number 10 guy, because the fact is, as much as the running back has been valued in the league, not in my opinion, but in the opinion of the guys who make those decisions about running backs.
Now, Jerry,
yep.
I don't think he's the number 10. This is your list, but I don't think he's the number 10 guy. And I agree with you. His success was predicated on the fact that he had three number one linemen that panned out. But it also is predicated on the fact that they gave him the ball. You know, yes, he has had injuries, and that's understood. Got it. Both he and Adrian Peterson came from Oklahoma, my current university for my master's. I just wanted to throw that in there. But I think if you give him the ball like he has had this past year, he'll be productive. Now, does he have the Tiki Barber issue with fumbling? Yeah, he does. Can he fix that? Yes, he can. Since it doesn't sound like you think he's going to stay in Dallas, where do you think he then goes?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, let me put it this way. The Jets have a huge salary cap that they can open up their pockets for. The Raiders have a lot of cap space that they can jump in there and grab a running back, even though they may have a good running back on the roster right now, Latavius Murray. I'm trying to think who else has a decent cap space. Those two, for sure, the Jets and the Raiders, have huge amount of cap space that they're able to grab some notable free agents. And DeMarco Murray may be one of them. You know how the Jets love to run the football. It's nothing to think that up in Buffalo, they love. You know he's going to love to run the football. If they got cap space, they may go after him. I mean, he can. Any team that is looking to run the football that's got some cap space, and I named the top two teams that I can think of right off the top of my head, the Raiders and the Jets, will be looking for a back like DeMarco Murray if Dallas decides to not sign him up.
I'll tell you like this. Chris Johnson is no longer a Jet. They released him. So there's space there. I do agree that Buffalo can use a pounder because I don't think C.J. Spiller is going to be there. And Fred Jackson, a little old, and they already paid him. So he's going to be gone. So they're looking for younger players. And, yes, Buffalo would be a good place for him. But I'm looking more south. Same division, same conference. I'm talking about the Miami Dolphins. I think Lamar Miller would lose his starting job immediately to DeMarco Murray, mainly because I don't think they're going to bring back Sean Marino because he, too, is high injury-prone but has had more surgeries than DeMarco Murray. So I think he's out. I also look at a team like possibly, quite possibly, Baltimore. Baltimore, because I don't think Justin Forsett is going to get a long-term deal. He's done pretty well for them this past year, but I don't think he's going to stick around as their lead guy much longer. But I see him going to the AFC. I don't see him anywhere in the NFC, to be quite honest, unless for whatever reason San Francisco decides, well, they're going to let Frank Gore go, and they're not confident in Carlos Hyde just yet. They can use a bruising back as well. But, yeah, I think the Cowboys pay Dez Bryant. I know he's on your list. We're going to get to him in a minute. They paid Dez Bryant and let DeMarco go and because DeMarco has stated it's about respect. And so has Dez Bryant. He said the same thing. It's about respect. Well, I know Jerry has a lot of money, but salary cap rules say you can't pay all this money to all these players without somebody taking a pay cut. So Romo would have to take a pay cut. Smith would have to take a pay cut. The offensive linemen, they're locked in at certain dollar figures, but they're going to get redone real soon. You also have you need players on defense. So you can't pay them both. I believe somebody's going to end up going away, and I think it's DeMarco Murray. Your thoughts on who I said he might go to, and then we're going to go to your number nine.
Well, I already talked about that.
No, what are your thoughts on what I said as far as going to Miami or Baltimore?
I would say Baltimore more likely than Miami. Miami is a little tight on money, especially when they got a big wide receiver in Mike Wallace. And depending on what happens with him, if they somehow restructure the contract, which I highly doubt, knowing Mike Wallace, or they outright release him for whatever reason. But it would be tough for them to show up in Miami, if I'm not mistaken. I'm trying to look who has cap space and who doesn't.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. That's fair. I believe that they're going to release Mike Wallace or he's going to take a pay cut. I think he's more than likely to be released because he'll get picked up by somebody somewhere and play. So I think that's more likely. And that's why I put him there. Let's go on to your number nine. Who's your number nine?
Well, number nine is, believe it or not, it is, where the heck is it at? Devin McCourty
of the New England Patriots. I think the New England Patriots want to keep him in the house. They want to keep that that secondary intact because a second year with that secondary would be beneficial. I know they're going to try to keep Darrelle Revis also, trying to redo his contract. He's not a free agent, but they want to redo his contract. So I think Devin McCourty, I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I think he's going to stay with the Super Bowl champions and be happy under Bill Belichick and that defense. So Devin McCourty, even though he may be able to get more money going somewhere else, I think he'd rather have the possibility of getting another Super Bowl ring and taking a little less money, Tom Brady, and being in the safety of the new world champion New England Patriots.
Okay. I think McCourty is expendable, and I think he will be replaced. He's going to go somewhere, and somebody's going to pay him, hopefully not the Skins, because he's not that good of a free safety. I'm just going to be honest. I think he has a little bit more he needs to mature football-wise more. And it was pointed out during that catch by by Kurse in the Super Bowl, whereas Butler tapped the ball away and, you know, McCourtney was right there and he did nothing. Butler got up and pushed Kurse out. Had he not pushed him out, Kurse would have got up and scored. So I think McCourtney lacks focus and he needs to mature more in New England or in his position. So he's going to leave for the money. You know the Patriots aren't going to pay him a lot of money. You know he's not getting that money, and somebody's going to end up, you know, overpaying for it, overvaluing this guy. Let's go to your number seven. Excuse me, your number eight. Your number eight.
My number eight is, and I know they'll make a shot at him, but I kind of doubt they're going to be able to keep this guy. Because he'll demand some big time money because he's a big time player, and he in fact is my favorite wide receiver on his team, and that's the Green Bay Packers. I'm talking about Randall Cobb. He's my number
yeah.
eight, and he's going to demand some big time money, and who can't want a wide receiver like Randall Cobb, as versatile as he is? Can play multiple wide receivers position, can return kicks, and also play in a backfield. That's how versatile this guy is. And up until last year when he got hurt, how durable this guy is as a wide receiver. Where he goes,
he I got go an
anywhere.
Idea. You want to hear my idea?
I'm listening.
Seattle. I think.
Seattle?
Yes. I think you pair him with that young kid, Matthews. Kurse and Baldwin. And you let Hatcher, whatever his name is, go. Because you're going to have the money. You're going to have the money to pay. He's a more reliable and durable Percy Harvin. Just think about what I'm saying here. Because Green Bay is not going to pay him, because I think Green Bay has like three top free agents that they need to pay, and I don't think he's going to be one of them. But I see him going to Seattle because they're going to restructure Marshawn Lynch's contract. They're going to either release him or restructure, and there'll be money to pay Cobb. And he'll slide right in and be their number one receiver as they develop that big, tall, 6'4" guy that was the star of the Super Bowl. That's my thought process. So, your thoughts on that or where he may go?
Well,
I mean, he's able to go to a lot of places. That's why, I mean, there's a lot of teams that can want the services of Randall Cobb. So, it's just a matter of who offers him the best contract. I think that's where it's going to happen. Who offers him the best contract is where he's going to go. Because he could write his own ticket. He's one of the better wide receivers in there. There's a couple other ones that are going to be sought after highly too, and he's one of them too. So,
okay, Number seven,
highly appreciated guy. He's part of the offensive line for the San Francisco team, and I think I'm talking about Michael Patti, and from the San Francisco 49ers, and he's my number seven. He's one of the better guards in the league, and I think they're going to push the money out to keep this guy, try to keep it intact, try to keep what they got going intact, and see if they can make another run to get to the Super Bowl with the new coaching staff.
I agree with you. Mikey Potty is a very big, strong, and not too old guard, and a big reason as to why San Francisco is able to run the ball, especially on the left or right side, whichever position he plays. I believe he has played both sides. And, again, I agree with you that, yes, he's going to stay in San Francisco, but you haven't talked about this guy, and I hope he's in your list. If not, for shame, Navarro Bowman still needs to be paid, and that might be an issue with Ipati staying. But with that said, let's move on. Because I agree with you on your number seven. Let's go to your number six.
Number six is Julius Thomas, the Denver tight end.
All right.
And this is a strong pop. This is, I think, predicated on – no, and it really shouldn't be, because the fact is that he couldn't stay healthy this year. And you saw when he was healthy – last year, I mean, early part of this year, he was good. He accumulated quite a few touchdowns before he got hurt, and then he was inconsistent for the better part of year, even with Peyton Manning in there. Gary Kubiak's coming. There's going to be a whole different offense. It's going to be more of his own run scheme. But with Gary Kubiak, there is a strong emphasis on getting the ball to the tight end. And if Julius Thomas doesn't command a big hit in the salary cap, then there's a strong possibility he'll come back to the Broncos. And I'm trying to think here. What I'm looking at is where the Broncos are in the salary cap, and they are.
It depends on if Peyton restructures. That's where they are, because they have money, but they don't have enough money to pay Bebe and Julius. Demaryius and Julius need to be paid. And
well, they have 26 million in cap space. That's what they have.
Correct. But they have to pay both Julius and Demaryius.
Mm-hmm.
So
where I see him going? Depending on how the teams value him. Do they value him as he was last year and the early part of this year, or what they saw for the greater part of greater part of this year? What the teams value him at? I'm thinking that the Falcons can use him because they need a strong tight end presence there. The
Oh, my God. It could be the... Wow.
Listen, I'm going to stop you right there because I agree with you 110% on the Falcons.
Uh-huh.
Now, I think Thomas, his ability to get open and play better was based upon Peyton Manning's coaching on the side and stuff. I got
uh-huh.
it. You put him in Atlanta with a defensive-minded coach that's going to allow the offense to do its thing, and a quarterback like Matt Ryan and receivers like Roddy White and Julio Jones, Atlanta becomes a number one team in the NFC South, in my opinion. In
uh-huh.
my opinion, once they fix the defense. But I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just got excited because we're on the same wavelength on that one. But go ahead.
I'm trying to think when I was looking at the teams that have possible cap space and possibly could use a player like him. Wow. You know what? They may even I'm talking about the Browns. They wanted the Browns got $50 million in cap space. There's a strong possibility that Jordan Cameron won't be with the Browns because he just doesn't like the dysfunction that's going on there. The Browns may go after Julius Thomas. I'm looking at other teams that may want to shore up their tight end position, and it could be a team like the Jaguars who have the highest cap space in the NFL, and maybe looking for a sure-handed tight end.
So much. Think Lewis time is done. If that's the case.
Excuse me?
So you think Mercedes Lewis's time is done, if that's the case?
It could be. I mean, he wasn't that healthy this year, right along with Julius Thomas. He was in and out of the lineup also. So some of these guys are they're tough to gauge because – you don't know what the market would be for this guy because he showed two different sides of himself this season, and so you don't know what you're going to get. So he hurt himself at the greater part of this season because of the play he had, and he couldn't stay healthy, and he wasn't that effective when he was healthy, when he was in the game after his strong showing early part of the year.
Okay. All right, let's go to your next number five.
Number five, defensive end from the New York Giants, Jason Pierre-Paul, JPP. I don't know if the Giants are going to keep him. It would be a shame to lose him because they need a pass rush, and when this guy is healthy, he's one of the best pass rushers in the league. But one of the places he would definitely be coveted or looked at would be the Cincinnati Bengals, who are definitely looking for some type of pass rush because they have one of the worst pass rushes in the league last year. And they need somebody that can get after the quarterback. That comes to mind right off the top of my head. They're well under the cap space. They got a little over $34 million in cap space, so that wouldn't be an issue. Trying to think who else would be who needs.
I would say Atlanta. We just talked about.
You would also say Atlanta. Okay. Yes. Okay.
The reason why I would say Atlanta is because look at the defensive coordinator and what he wants to do. He has Corey Bierman, who can put his fingers down in the dirt, or he can stand up and drop back. And they're going to be primarily a 4-3 defense. Jason Pierre-Paul can do pretty much both. He's better at pass rushing, and if they develop their defensive tackles, they had a rookie from Florida State last year who showed spurts, and they've got another D-tackle down there that does well. I would say, because OC – I don't think OC I think OC's done. That's just my opinion. I think OC Mayor is done. You bring JPP down there. He has maybe 3 or 4 good years left in him, and he gets that type of contract, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
So that's my thoughts. Those are my thoughts.
That does make sense. Those two teams, Cincinnati and Atlanta, definitely need a pass rusher, and there's this is not the premier pass rusher, but he's an extremely good pass rusher, and he's on the open market, so the Giants don't decide to pay him. One of those two teams, I think, are going to step up to the plate and definitely grab him. If not, then another guy that's on my list, if he doesn't stay in his hometown, on his team that he's on now, he's definitely going to be using some bucks, being offered some bucks, I should say, to move on. But we'll get to him because he happens to be my number two. But we got a couple more guys before that.
Yes.
I want to move on. Okay, my next guy is my final four. And this should be no surprise here. Another Thomas coming from Denver. They got issues possibly losing their big tight end, and now their big-time receiver in Demaryius Thomas. Peyton Manning, it all rides on whether Peyton Manning is coming back or not, and it may not even be up to that. I think this guy wants to get paid, regardless if it's with Denver and a possibility of getting to the Super Bowl, which is slipping away, or going and just getting paid and playing somewhere else. I know I heard talk, and this is just off the top of my head, not off the top of my head, but I heard this, that believe it or not, the Jets may be interested in Demaryius Thomas, I guess teaming up with Eric Decker and helping Geno out, or whoever is going to be the quarterback of the Jets come the 2015 season. Also,
Ty Bowles likes it. Ty Bowles likes that idea.
Yep. Also, I mean, how about the Raiders? The Raiders are looking for a big time tight wide receiver. Why not the Raiders? They got $52 million in cap space. Like I said, they got a lot of room under the cap space. Can be aggressive in going out and getting some of these free agents. These top three teams, the Jaguars, Raiders, and Browns, are at least $50 million in cap space available, followed closely by the Jets. So those four teams, especially the top three, are going to be looking at these big-time free agents and try to jump all over them and improve their team quickly.
I got one for you.
Go ahead.
We're talking about Bebe, Demaryius Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And you might like this. I don't know how the cap space is, but Houston might be in his cards. Just saying.
Well, Houston's on a low end of being in cap space. They have a little more than almost $11 million in cap space, which is on the lower side of available cap space in the NFL. So I don't know if they're going to be looking for a wide receiver of that magnitude to be able to sign him when they have DeAndre Hopkins. And even though he's an aging, but he's still a viable option in Andre Johnson. Unless they happen to move Andre Johnson somewhere and make some more space available for a wide receiver like Demaryius Thomas. I don't see that happening.
That's what I think.
I'd be very surprised if that happens. I think Andre Johnson is going to be a Texan for life. As long as he thinks that they want him, he's going to play for him. I don't think he's anxious to go to another team. So, but we have to wait and see about that. I'm looking at these other options, and I don't think these teams I can't see
other than those top four teams I named, I have a hard time. Maybe the Titans, who got a little over $42 million in cap space, maybe looking for a wide receiver. So, and that's the fifth team: Jaguars, Raiders, Browns, Jets, and Titans. And quite naturally, all those teams don't have a good record. I think the Raiders do have a quarterback. I think the Jaguars do have a quarterback, but the quarterback needs some weapons around him, and I think one of them would be a big-time wide receiver, and that could be Demaryius Thomas.
All right. Let's move on to number three.
The X Factor, Mr. Star himself. I think this guy is the best wide receiver in the league, and I think he's not going anywhere. Highly motivated, motivates his teammates, definitely gets it done on the field when given an opportunity. Dez Bryant is probably the most sought-after wide receiver free agent this year, and Jerry Jones, if he was smart, he would not let him go. It's the passing game. You need good wide receivers. The Dallas Cowboys have a stud wide receiver and possibly another stud in the waiting in Terrence Williams. But Dez is the man, and you can't let Dez walk out the door. He means too much to the team on the field and on the sidelines, keeping his guys motivated. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I highly doubt it. One way or the other, Jerry Jones is going to sign this guy.
I agree. I think it's going to be to the detriment of DeMarco Murray. Yet again, we agree on a specific move. I actually think Bebe is probably the more sought-after player because Bebe does more routes. Demaryius Thomas does more routes than what Dez does. Both are physical. I would say that Dez is just a tad more physical than Demaryius, but if I'm looking at skill set, let's look at, like a Mike Wallace, versus an Emmanuel Sanders. Both have speed. Both can do things down the field, but Mike Wallace isn't going over the middle. Mike Wallace isn't playing the slot. Emmanuel Sanders is. And that's what I would compare when I look at Demaryius versus Dez. I would love that both on my team. Don't get me wrong. But skill set-wise, and because he's had the tutelage of Peyton Manning, I think that Demaryius is probably the more, and this is my opinion, the more valued receiver. Plus, Demaryius doesn't have all the extra baggage that Dez brings to my organization. So that plays a big role in my decision-making as to who I'm going to get or go after. But that's just me. Go ahead, brother.
All right, let's move on to number two. Team that desperately needed a pass rusher. We talked about the Cincinnati Bengals. Talked about the Atlanta Falcons. Talking about Kansas City's chief pass rusher, Justin Houston. Yes. Every time he jumps on the field, he is a pass rush or a sack waiting to happen. I think he had 22 sacks or 21 and a half sacks or something like that. He almost broke Michael Strahan's record. This guy is a beast on the defensive side of the ball. I have a hard time thinking that Kansas City is going to let him loose. I think this guy definitely wants to get paid. And he has a big role in Kansas City's defense. He leaves, Kansas City takes a step back on their defense. They're plain and simple. He leaves, they take a big step back because of the havoc he can wreak on the offensive line for whoever he goes up against. This will be very interesting to see if Kansas City is going to push out the money to pay this guy.
Kansas City is, I think they're on the lower side of the cap.
Yes, they are.
Yes, Kansas City.
They're over the cap. They're over the cap. One of six or seven teams that are over the cap.
They're not the worst team, but they're definitely over the cap. And if that's the case, unfortunately, Justin Houston's time, unless they restructure whoever's salary on the team, Justin Houston will not be with the Kansas City Chiefs. And if that's the case, I see a strong contender in Cincinnati. I see a strong contender in the Atlanta Hawks, I mean Atlanta Falcons. And I'm trying to think who else would there be. Maybe possibly the Giants. Giants are in need of a linebacker help. Because that's one of the weaker points besides the middle linebacker and they use John Beeson. They definitely need a pass rush, and Justin Houston could add to that pass rush, especially if they keep Jason Pierre-Paul.
I think there's a team out there that can afford them and can use them because they have an aging DN / outside linebacker, and Dwight Freeney. I'm talking about the San Diego Superchargers. I think that would be an excellent fit for him because that defense is relatively young. And Leggett, giving that push up the middle or on the same side as him, would be extremely good. Now, Dwight Freeney's aging, yes, but he's still able to do it. But you put him on one side and you put Houston on another side, and you have trouble. You have trouble. All right. Let's get to your number one. We still have two subjects I want to cover before we go up there. We have 17 minutes left alive there. Your number one prospect. I'm surprised. I'm very surprised you didn't have Navarro Bowman in here because I know he's not your number one. But I'm very surprised about that. But go ahead.
Number one would be Ndamukong Suh, wrecking havoc on the defensive line, defensive tackle. Everybody needs a defensive tackle, especially the magnitude of Ndamukong Suh. So I would think he would have a lot of suitors, and one of them, and we keep talking about these guys, but I'm thinking that the Bengals for one, the Falcons for another.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Then the Bengals and the Falcons need some pressure to generate on the defensive line. They definitely need that. I'm thinking who else would need this.
So you're giving up on Geno Atkins.
Well,
if you're sending him to Cincinnati, you're giving up on Geno Atkins.
Well,
who just got paid not too long ago. And you're saying Carlos Dunlap and the other guy, the other defensive end, I can't remember, are done if you're going to send these DNs there too. I'm surprised you're calling Cincinnati, but maybe your thoughts are,
let me put it this way. You always, and when they go up to these free agents, you always see some surprise players that get released or for whatever reason. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but stranger things have happened, and you get a player like Ndamukong Suh. Who would you rather have? Ndamukong Suh, Geno Atkins. So,
you
gotta make that choice. Huh?
No, I said, I got you.
And you even have to think about the Titans. You think about these lower-tier teams. Like I said, these lower-tier teams. And I'll give you in descending order. The Jaguars are $60 million, almost $62 million under the cap. The Raiders are about $52 million under the cap. The Browns are about a little over $50 million under the cap. The Jets are just short of $49 million under the cap. The Titans are $42 million under the cap. The Bengals are very close with the Colts, $34 million under the cap. So they got a lot of room to bring in some free agents and possibly improve their team, whether it's on the offensive or defensive side of the ball, depending on their needs.
The other teams, I'm not going to go all completely down the list, but the those.
Do you see him staying in Detroit?
Do I see him staying in Detroit? Detroit's only got a little more than about $15 million under the cap. Good luck. He's going to want to get paid. There's no two ways about it. If Detroit pays him, they're going to, he's going to eat up a lot of that cap space, a lot of that cap space. And I can't I don't know the other guys that they need to pay, because there's no more for each of these teams. There's normally more than one guy or two guys that they have to get paid, or they got to make choices on whether they're going to pay him or not. And most of the time, they pay at least a couple of these guys and let the other ones, depending on how relevant they are to their team, go. Dominic Sue is a very relevant player. It's not a type of player that you want to let go, but depending on where you're at in cap space, depending on how much cap space you can clear out, if you want to clear out some cap space, then you can keep them. They're going to have a hard time keeping them when they're on the lower end of caps.
Here's my thoughts on that. Mm-hmm. I think he comes to D.C., quite honestly, because I remember the Redskins wanted him coming out of college, but they didn't want to pair him with Albert Haynesworth because they saw the same anger issues.
Okay.
Except, you know, so I think he comes to D.C. because they have the cap space. They don't have to pay too many people this year. They're getting a lot of money back. And to put in, and I think the defense is going back to like a 4-3 or a hybrid 3-4. You put him with Ryan Kerrigan, because we're going to let go of, most likely we're going to let go I forgot his name already, our Arakpo, because he stays injured, and when he's in there, he makes some plays, but not a lot. So I think Arakpo is gone. And with that money, you bring in Dominic and Sue to step up the middle and cause havoc, which he can do. With that being said, I also think he might get franchised. And that takes me back to Denver. Whereas one of the two might get franchised between the Thomases, between Demaryius and Julius, because it's cheaper to franchise Julius and keep him for a year or two and pay Demaryius. So those are my thoughts on those guys, man. But I think Indomitian would end up in D.C. because they can afford to pay him. They want him, and there's a need there up front, along with a team such as, oh, my gosh, I just had it in my head. To be honest, if this man went to this team, I don't know what to think. If he went to Carolina, since Greg Hardy, we forgot Greg Hardy's a free agent as well,
mm-hmm.
or he's coming up on free agency, but I don't know if too many people don't want to deal with the headache. You know, if Indominican goes to Carolina, oh, my goodness. But we talked about Atlanta being the front runner in a lot of these defensive players. I think that's actually a safe bet that they might get two of the three. You know,
and
go ahead.
And you got to think that you got a defensive minded coach there now. The Falcons are almost $24 million or $23.5 million under the cap. You're Redskins. I told you that the Lions are a little less than almost $15 million under the cap. The Redskins are about $14 million under the cap. They're even worse than the Lions. So depending on what they want to do. Go ahead. I'm going to say.
No, I would say, however, they might be 14, but they're going to cut a lot of high-end players this year. I think Santana's done. I love Santana, but he's due a lot of money. I think you look at, like I said, Arakpo. They're not going to franchise him. He's done. Mayweather had a decent contract. I think that might be gone. I love Ryan Clark, Redskin for life, but I think he's done. They don't have to pay Robert that much money. So he might be he's not going to be a liability. The money's in Pierre Garçon and what's my man? And Jackson and Roberts. That's where the money is. And either Roberts or Pierre is going to go, because Roberts could have been more productive, but he dropped a lot of balls. Pierre is productive, but I don't think he wants to play second fiddle to Deshaun. So one of those three is probably going to be gone, and that frees up a lot of space, a lot of the defensive players that are going. So that's just my thought process. You know, we'll see.
Uh-huh.
Navarro Bowman might be headed our way. I don't know. We'll see. We have 8 minutes left alive there, JT. So what I want to do real quick, if you have a list or if you have some information available, if not, I can go into baseball. But I want to talk a little bit about a couple people you're looking at the combine coming up this week, or next week, I should say. Give me a few names that you're looking at for performance at the combine. We know that a few players like Todd Gurley from Georgia, he's not going to be there to do anything athletically. He's going to do the measurables. He's going to do the interview, stuff like that, but he's not lifting. He may lift, I don't know, but he's not doing any of the field work. But give me your thoughts on at least two or three players.
Well, I'm looking at, and these guys have a tendency, because of where they come from and their history of running backs coming from the school, because they have strong offensive lines, that when they hit the NFL, they don't pan out as well as they can. But this guy maybe is something special and different than some of the players that came from his college. I'm talking about Melvin Gordon coming from Wisconsin. And the names I'm thinking about, a prior Wisconsin running backs, are escaping me, but I know there's at least two of them that didn't pan out.
Ron
and there you go. That's one of them that didn't pan out, coming from Wisconsin. But this guy is 6'1", 207, broke the college record, it was broken, I think, the same week or the week after in yardage. But this guy is a big-time guy. He's a junior coming out, and I'm anxious to see what he can do. Another guy from a Chris Johnson type of guy, but he's a little shorter, from Nebraska, Amir Abdullah. I'm looking to see what he can do. 5'8 guy, I'm thinking he can pretty much fly, and I'm seeing if he's got that speed, because if you're 5'8 and 198, you better be able to run. Otherwise, you won't make it in the NFL. And I'm also looking at a guy that where the heck is he at? T.Y. Yeldon, I should say, from your one of your favorite schools, Alabama. He's a junior coming out. 6'2", 221 pounds. Probably, I would say he probably comes down a couple pounds at least going to the combine. I'm anxious to see what he's going to do also. So there's a couple of guys, and there's other guys that I'm still looking at, but those guys that I'm interested in seeing what they're going to do with the combine. Besides Todd Gurley, who's hurt, and Tevin Coleman from Indiana, who's a 6 foot, 210-pound back from Indiana. Those two guys are dealing with some injuries and won't participate fully in the combine. So,
okay. Well, with that being said, it's ATM Money. I'm going to switch gears in the last 5 minutes of the show to, and I think those are some guys to look at. I mean, they're big names, but we'll get into that probably tomorrow and or next week. We'll see. But I'm going to switch to baseball. See if I can spark a little interest here. Because I need you, JT. I need you, man. All right, I'm going to give you my top 10 list. In no particular, well, my top 10 list of fantasy baseball players this year. And I want your comment on them. So if you got pen and paper, write it down. Number one, I have Mike Trout. Number two.
That's a no-brainer.
Miguel Cabrera. Number three.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
Okay, number three, Andrew McCutchen. Number four, Clayton Kershaw. Number five. Now, some people don't like this one, but I have Giancarlo Stanton, number five. Paul Goldschmidt, number six. Felix Hernandez, number seven. Jose Abreu, the first baseman for the White Sox, number eight. Jose Bautista.
Who's number eight?
Nine.
Who's number eight?
Number eight? Jose Abreu.
Who's number nine? Who's number nine?
Bautista.
Jose Bautista?
Yes.
Really? Okay, go ahead.
Yes. And my number 10 guy, only because he has a big stick and might be able to do something, is Yasiel Puig. I have dropped, until people took out of my top 10, Robinson Cano, Troy Tulowitzki, and Edwin Encarnacion. I like them, but they were injured a lot last year. Robinson Cano wasn't injured. He just didn't get a lot of productivity. I think that's
because
he's with Seattle, and that's hurting him fantasy-wise. So I've dropped them out of my top 10 and replaced them with the few people that I did state. Real quickly, your thoughts on my top 10, and who would you have in there as opposed to who I have in there?
Well, Mike Trout, I agree with Miguel Cabrera is going to be is hurt, and don't know if he's going to start the season. So I wouldn't even definitely put him in. I moved McCutchen up. I put Giancarlo Stanton a little higher than seven.
Five?
I think you have him.
I had Giancarlo Stanton at five.
I put you had him at five. I'd put him ahead of Paul. I put him ahead of a Paul Goldschmidt. I put him ahead of Clayton Kershaw. Got Edward Encarnacion.
I had him on my top 10.
Yeah, Miguel Cabrera. I would flip those. Miguel Cabrera, not in the same order that you have him, but I would put Miguel Cabrera out of the top 10, just for the fact is that I think he is not going to be the same Miguel Cabrera. I think he's going to start the season hurt, and I don't think he's going to play right away, along with Victor Martinez. Those two guys are going to be out of the lineup. I put Carlos Gomez. This is a guy that I liked last year, and I think he was dealing with some personal issues, family issues last year, and I think he's going to break out this year, for one. But all the other guys, Bautista, he's number 10, and that's probably a decent place for him. Felix Fernandez, probably a decent place for him. I think you're close, but the only one I wouldn't have in the top 10 is Miguel Cabrera.
I had Yasiel Puig at number 10. So do you think he's outside or in the 10?
No, I think he's outside. My number 10 would be Trout, McCutchen, Stanton, Goldschmidt, Kershaw, Gomez, Encarnacion, Bautista, I'm sorry, Jose Abreu, and Felix Hernandez. Pugh, whoever the heck he pronounced his name, Yasiel Puig, I'd put him in the next set of 10, not in the first set. So.
Okay. All right. Well, it is what it is, young man. I can dig it. So we'll see in the draft room how it shakes down. Your intent, my friend?
I gave you a text. I'm still thinking about it. I told you it's a long, long grind. It's 20-something weeks. That's a long grind. That's a long grind. Every day, that's a long grind. And like I expressed last year, that wasn't too sure if I'm going to jump in there or not.
I'm thinking about making it one lineup change a week. So that's what I'm thinking. I don't know.
Well, you can think about that, but it's still is the fact that, and that's worse, in my opinion. That's worse because you can only make one lineup change. Suppose a guy gets hurt and he's in your lineup, and you have somebody take his spot, or two guys get hurt. That's a possibility. You only can make one lineup change. I wouldn't like that. And I know this league's like that, but I'm not a big proponent of locking your team all week, or limiting the amount of changes you can make all week. Because guys get hurt all the time, and that's why you have a bench. So you can flip them back and forth to compensate for a starter that you have. So,
very true. One change, and we're going to get ready to get off the air, that I'm definitely making is I'm going to apply the only thing you can do. You're going to have a bigger bench. And when I mean bigger, it's going to be the same size as your starting lineup. The reason why is because we are moving toward the waiver wire for real money. All transactions will be approved by me, the commissioner. I believe I got you as co-commissioner here, if I'm not mistaken. And you're going to bid on, or not bid, you're going to place your waiver request for the player. And it goes on first come, first serve, and the person that has money in their reserve. What do I mean by that? If it costs $50 to play in the league, but you send $75, you have $25 in reserve for adds and drops. Each transaction or each move is a dollar. A dollar for a pickup, a dollar for a drop, a dollar per person in a trade or draft pick. All this extra money goes toward a side pot at the end of the season where we're going to pay out people for X amount of saves, X amount of strikeouts, or whatever the case may be. So that's something that is going into effect. I'm going to begin it in basketball, and it will move over to football in all of my leagues. I may lose some people. I may get some people. But this is in a move to prevent folks from just stashing people on their bench for whatever reason and raising more funds to pay out more people. There are other reasons that I'm not going to get some on the air, but it's a preventative measure, so to speak. I'm not going to stop people from doing trades. They want to trade people, they're going to trade them, but they're going to pay real money to trade them. So
then you're stopping people because people are not going to spend money to trade. Very few.
Well,
trades are hard enough to do versus now you're going to pay for them. So just keep that in mind.
But if two owners want to make a trade, I'm not going to stop a trade unless they don't. Both players don't have the money to make the trade. So.
That's what I'm saying. If the league is $50, if somebody puts in $50, they can't make any trades. They can't make any transactions.
They cannot.
No,
They're going to have to work with what is on their roster and their bench and their injury reserve. That's why I'm making the benches about the same size, if not a little bit larger, than their active roster. It's going to be a long draft, got it. But this is in an effort to make sure folks are all playing by the rules and are all, I'm not going to say paid up, but, yeah, there will be money on the side.
We talked about this before, Victor. We talked about this before. What you're doing here is you're eliminating people, and you're preventing. Really, you're going to have a harder time getting people in there, especially when they know they have to pay some monetary pay out their pocket to make a trade, to make a waiver wire pickup. You won't be getting too many people that want to be doing that. Not in this day and age.
Well, that's fine. That's fine because I don't want people that aren't willing to be responsible, so to speak, and not do things in the playoffs that can hurt others. So,
maybe this is not a conversation if we're on air, but
no, we'll talk about it off air.
Yeah. Because I don't understand your thinking, but maybe I'm missing something here. So,
yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. But it's a way to weed some folks out. Yes, it is. It is. That much I'll say. But anyway, let's get off this show. And what's your plan for the master plan tomorrow?
We're going to talk about more of the combine. I know it's coming up. It'll be in full gear on a Saturday. It starts on a Friday, if I'm not mistaken. We'll be talking about a couple guys besides what I talked about today on the combine, for one.
All right. That's one topic that the Master and the NFL Explorer will be talking about. JT, any parting words before we go?
Those of you who like that entertainment, enjoy the slam dunk contest and whatever else for festivities leading up to the All-Star game. And then also, Quentin Nasley, enjoy the All-Star game. That's about it.
You're so joyful today. Oh, my goodness. I got to get you take this prescription of your Ambien away from you or something. I don't know what to do. ladies and gentlemen, it's the date of love. You know, and until my wife, it's my turn to be pampered and taken care of. So I'm doing that. She's gonna take care of me today. She's paying for everything. I'm getting pampered.
Oh boy.
I get to be a diva today. Damn it.
No.
But anyway. I'm going to say happy birthday to my cousin, Mike. Hope you have a good birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple other folks that I know, happy birthday to you guys, Valeria and a few others. Other than that, enjoy your weekend, enjoy sports, enjoy life. And we'll see you here next week, possibly from the combine. Well, not from the combine, but talking about the combine. I got some news to talk to you about too, Jerry. So hit me up after the show. All right, ladies and gentlemen. We are who we are, and that's because we are the best. You have been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.